My Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, go to Proverbs, the 28th chapter, and the first verse. We're talking from the subject of bold faith. That is our series title. And if you're going to make something happen in life, how many know you're going to have some bold faith? The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." The righteous, those who are declared right, those who are, have given their life to Jesus, the righteous, the Bible says, are bold as a lion. And so I shared with you on last week that being bold in faith has got me where I am today. And that boldness puts you on a track of seeing the supernatural power of God at work in your life. Before I jump into this lesson, I always like to check anybody in the room in faith, believing for something, whether it be big, medium, or small, saying, "God, I need you to do something in my life," all right? Well, it's to the degree that you release faith and have bold faith, you will see it come to pass in your life. Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse, I love this scripture because it really helps the believer in life. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live," how, class? By your paycheck. Depending on what the government does. That's right. The just shall live by faith. And so we understand that this is how we live. We live by faith, that faith is to be a lifestyle. Faith is not something I just use to get something. You got it? Faith is a lifestyle. It is how I live. I live by faith. Faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. Once you get saved, you are saved. You got it? Now you need to learn how to live out this Christian life and live out this victorious Christian life so you can get the victory, not over some things, but over everything in your life. Amen? And so the writer says that we live by faith. And I submit to you that we have to have bold faith if we're really going to see some things to come to pass. Faith cometh how? By hearing. But faith is released how? By the words of our mouth, right? So watch this. It's good to come and hear the word and get the faith that I need. But after I receive it, I've got to release it. And I release it by the words of my mouth. I've got to say something. And if I believe it, it'll come to pass. Does that make sense? You know, scripture reveals over and over those who overcame by bold faith. Those who overcame by bold faith. You all remember the woman with the issue of blood? You got it? How many years did she have it? 12 long years. 12 long years is long to have anything. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but she had heard about a man named Jesus. And even though there was crowds and it was tough to get to him, she had made it up in her mind and said, "If I can just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." So evidently there was some faith that had gotten on the inside of her. She had heard about Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus. So faith came, but watch this, it was released by the words of her mouth. She opened her mouth and said something. Listen, nothing moves until you speak. You got it? Absolutely nothing moves until you speak. It is the order of God, watch this now, that we boldly declare and to the degree that we boldly declare and release faith, watch this, we set ourselves on track to see the supernatural in our lives. Does anybody still believe in the supernatural? I believe we live in a day and a time where some people have backed up from believing the supernatural, but I don't believe that he just was a supernatural God. I believe that he is a supernatural God and that he still performs miracles in our lives. You got it? And so bold faith. You know, the Hebrew boys, it was their bold faith that said, "God will deliver us out of this situation." You got it? It was a centurion soldier with this bold faith that said, "You don't have to come into my house. Just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed." And we got to get to the point where we have bold faith and we're not so much worrying about situations or circumstances that even in spite of a bad situation that I still open my mouth and say what the word of God says. Does that make sense? Go over to Mark, the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. One of my favorite passages of scripture, especially when it comes to teaching faith. Mark 11 and 22, some of you all might remember this passage. The disciples were going back and forth in and out of town to the temple and back with Jesus, and they went by, and when they were going, Jesus wanted some fruit on the tree because he saw leaves. Leaves is a sign of fruit on the tree. There was no fruit. Jesus cursed it, commanded it to die. When they come back around the next day, Peter's like, Jesus, you are not going to believe this. How many know Jesus believes everything? And so he says, that tree that you commanded to die is dead. So here's Jesus' response. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have what?
Faith.
Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Anybody warm besides me? Are y'all all right? Who's warm? Oh, a lot of y'all. I thought so too. I don't know why, Pat. It's warm. I mean, it's not his fault, all right? I'm just. But hook me up front and then just go up 1 degree. I think, because I'm warm and everybody just. And I was like, well, maybe it's the extra hour that we're just kind of, I think we're warm, all right? But we're going to cool you down in just a minute, right? We're not going to freeze you out, but we're going to cool you down, amen? And Jesus answering, matter of fact, since I realize you're warm, in a crowd like this, when people are warm, they start going to sleep, all right? So just check on your neighbor and make sure they're awake, because some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right. And Jesus answering said unto them, have what class? Okay, we're going to try it again. And Jesus answering said unto them, have what class? Have faith in God. Not just have faith, but have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say that's me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. But we need to back up and really read that. He says, whosoever shall say, so I've got to open my mouth unto this mountain. What is the mountain? The trial, the trouble, the situation, the roadblock, the thing that you're facing. He says, whoever shall say, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Whosoever shall say, I don't know if that was the AC or the wind of the Holy Ghost, but I'll take both, right? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, all right, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So when I have a situation that's in front of me, I cannot allow the situation to determine what I say. I can only allow the word of God to determine what I say, no matter how bad it looks. And so the Bible says that if I will speak to that and command it to go, watch this, and not doubt in my heart, but believe those things which I say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Some people try to tell me, well, you got to be careful about saying stuff because you might not get it. That's not what the Bible told me. And my thing is either we're going to believe the Bible or we're not going to believe the Bible. And the Bible says, watch this, and here's the key. The reason why some people don't get it is because they don't really believe it. Because he said, don't doubt where? In your heart. You got it? And so he says, watch this now. He says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. How many know Satan wants to disappoint you? He wants to distract you. He wants to dissatisfy you with the whole faith process because he wants you to lose heart. You got it? Everybody say, don't be fooled. Thank you. That's right. Don't be fooled. Now everybody say, keep going. All right. Everybody say, don't be fooled. Now say, keep going. All right, now look at your neighbor. Say, don't be fooled.
Don't be fooled.
Now say, keep going.
Keep going.
All right, everybody say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Keep going.
Keep going.
All right, stay focused. Stay in your lane. Keep going. Stay focused. Stay in your lane. That's a story that I tell. I don't know if there's any first-time guests that maybe haven't heard my story about staying focused, stay in the lane, and keep going. Anybody haven't not heard my story about staying focused and staying in your lane? Oh, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I need to tell that story again. Story of a young girl, and she's just learning how to drive. And as she's driving, her mama is over in the passenger seat, and she's driving, and all of a sudden they hit a storm, and it was unexpected for the girl. And the rain starts coming down, and it starts getting, kind of bad and those kind of things. And she begins to get nervous, and so she says, well, mama, I'm new at this. Maybe I should just let you take over because, I haven't ever been through a storm like this before. And her mama just says, stay focused, stay in your lane and keep going. So she continues to go, and as she goes, the water, it gets so bad that it's almost like you could not really see. You got it? And, you know, and then people are starting to put on their flashes, and she's never been through an experience, so she doesn't even understand what is putting flashes on mean. I'm 16 years old. I'm just, you know, just learning to drive. And she says, Mama, I'm not sure about this. And her mama says, stay focused, stay in your lane, and keep going. All right, now we're to the point where the rain is coming down so hard. You ever drove where the rain was coming down so hard that you could hardly see the car in front of you? Anybody ever been? So now they're doing this, and the girl sees the other cars in front of her starting to pull over to the right, you know, to wait for the storm to cease and that kind of thing. And she says, Mama, okay, that's it. I got to stop. She says, I need to pull over. She says, this doesn't make any sense. Other people are pulling up. Mama, I'm about to pull over. And the mama stops, says, no. She said, I told you to stay in your lane. She said, I told you to stay focused, to stay in your lane and keep going. And she said it real fervent. And the girl got upset. Some tears start to come down her eyes because really she's in fear and she's driving because she's never been through an experience like that before. You ever been through an experience that you had never been through before and it almost shook you a little bit? And so as they continue to drive and continue to drive, all of a sudden she gets through the storm. And you ever, I've done it coming from just Havelock to New Bern. It's pouring down rain in Havelock, and as soon as you get to New Bern, it's sunny skies, it's blue skies. You're like, what in the world happened? You understand? And so as soon as she sees it, she sits up, she takes a deep breath, she gets a smile on her face. Ooh, like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, now she's about to hit the accelerator and just take on down the road. And her mama said, now pull off to the other side. And she couldn't understand, like, Mama, why would you tell me to pull off to the other side? When I wanted to stop in the storm, you wouldn't let me stop in the storm. Now that everything is okay, why would you make me pull off to the other side? She says, pull off to the side. She says, now get out of the car. She's like, okay, something's wrong with Mama now. I don't need you to drive right now. I got it now, Mama. She says, get out of the car. She makes her get out of the car. She says, now turn around and look behind you because the storm, you can still see it. She says, look at everybody that is stuck in the storm because they didn't keep going. And in life, you got to learn how to keep going. She says, I saw the weatherman this morning, and he said that the weather was going to be temporary, and if I knew if you would keep going, you would get through it. Well, I didn't hear the weatherman this morning, but I did read the Word of God, and the Word of God said that our situations are light and they're temporary. And if you just learn how to keep going, how many know you're going to get through where you need to go? Everybody say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
Stay in your lane.
Keep going.
See, what the enemy wants to do is he wants you to appraise the possibility of losing even though you haven't lost. You got it? But you know, if you come to me and you start telling me about a situation, if you've noticed, I'm going to keep you in faith. And then if you tell me, yeah, but this, I'm going to keep you in faith. And then you're like, yeah, but this, I'm going to keep you in faith. And finally, you just want to quit talking to me because you realize that I'm not going to fall into a pity party. I love you too much to fall into a pity party because we walk by and not by. And to the degree, watch this, quitting is not an option. Victory becomes inevitable in your life. So it doesn't matter what your situation is, what your circumstance is, what the trouble is, how long you've been trying to make this come to pass. If you believe, it becomes possible for you. And to the degree that you are willing to go through the faith process, you will see it come to pass in your life. That's a good place to clap, and you almost miss it. All right. Everybody say, keep going. All right, let me give you some things to help you to keep going in life. Can I give you some things to help you to keep going in life? You know, how many along the way, besides myself, during our times of us being saved, we're like, you know, you hear a word like this or something happens, and you're like, you know, I need to refocus. I need to refocus my faith. I just kind of need to refocus myself. I need to get back on it, whether it's getting back on my confessions or getting back on this or whatever. And that's okay because all of us hit points like that along the way. You got it? And So I want to give you some things to help you keep going. All right, number one. Everybody say number one. Number one, I must have additional ministry. I must have additional ministry. In other words, when I refocus and realize, okay, I'm in a fight. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know that the fight is not over till I win, but I noticed that maybe I was backing up a little bit and I need to take this thing into the next gear. I need additional ministry. I must hear the word more than I'm hearing it right now. And how many know just listening to Pastor on Sunday is not enough? You got it. No, you need to hear me, not just on Sunday. You got it. Well, I come Sunday and Tuesday, and that's good too. But you need to listen to the word every single day. You got it. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so faith, the only way to get it to come is by hearing. Faith comes by hearing and not what you've heard. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. Faith comes by hearing and not what you've heard. So it's good, you know, the lesson you heard last week, but you need to hear some more lessons throughout the week so faith can continually to come into your heart, right? So you need additional ministry. Everybody say, I need additional ministry. All right, number two, I must have added meaning to the fight. This is good now, you got to get this. I must have added meaning to the fight. Everybody say, what's that mean, Pastor? What's that mean? I just think of my little juice box, Jay, like, what's that mean, Pastor? And so I must have added meaning to the fight. I must give new meaning to the faith fight that I'm in. I must get, because when you refocus, you need to start remembering and thinking, you got it, of why I'm in this fight and what's possible for me. Remember, the Bible says when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed. He said, if there's any way that you can let this cup pass from me, let it pass from me. He says, but hold on, not my will, but thine be done. You got it? So almost it was like, you know, he's saying, wait a minute, if this is what we need to do, we can make this happen. You got it? Well, evidently, he had the right meaning to what he was doing, because the Bible says over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. So what did Jesus do? He chose not to look at the situation that was in front of him, even though he had to go through it. And how many know there's some situations that you don't want to go through, but you just got to go through it? But if you go through it with bold faith, how many know you'll see God do something in your life? You got him? All right. And so, watch this. He didn't choose to focus on the cross, but the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He realized that there's something that's going to happen on the other side of the cross. Millions are going to be, if not billions, are going to be able to now give their life to Jesus and watch this and have eternity with the Father because of the decision that I'm making right now. And then when I get on the other side of this, I'm going to be back with my Father sitting at the right hand anyways. And so what happens is sometimes in your life, there's a situation that you really don't want to go through. But you have to learn how to look, watch this, on the other side of the situation. Because I always tell people, when you're going through something, if you stay in faith, there's victory on the other side of that situation. Does that make sense? All right. So number one, I must have additional ministry. Number two, I must have added meaning to the fight. Fight's not over till I win. I just have to refocus. Number three, I must adjust my mouth. I must adjust my mouth. What do you mean, Pastor? I must adjust my mouth. I got up this morning. I made my confessions. And you should get up and make your confession. But sometimes you make your confession, but your conversation is off. That's why you have to watch the company. You got it. You could be home making your confession. I think all my needs are met according to heaven's best. I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. I drive the best. Father, I thank you that you came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. You wish above all things that I prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. So I thank you for total life prosperity, that I'm healed, that I'm blessed, that my marriage is doing good, that my children are well. You know, you're doing all that. And then you go into an environment, maybe work. You know, I'm not saying everybody's work is bad, but I'm saying maybe that's just not a faith environment. You understand? And then people start talking. And if you're not careful, you will get caught up in the conversation because of frustration making you say something that you shouldn't say. What do you mean by that? Caught up in the conversation because of frustration. Because, you know, you get there, you know, the boss is tough, the environment is tough. And then the next thing you know, you start your neighbor starts a conversation with you and says, you know what, I'm about to be through with this. You know, I know I got bills to pay, but just forget all that. And you're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, you don't. You got to pay your bills. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. You know, I just do whatever I got. I'm just tired. I don't think I can make it another day. Ha, I know what you're talking about. What? So you make your confession, but your conversation gets off. You got it? And so, you know, you got to watch your company. Can I tell the story that you told me about the teacher saying you're going to fail? Or everybody repeat after me? Okay, all right. Like she going to say no with me asking in front. So my niece, you got it, Felicia, just so proud of the person that she is because she has bold faith, you got it? And so she's sitting there in class, and the teacher, I don't know, what kind of, was it math? Okay, like, you know, I don't know that geometry and all that stuff. Not that I'm not a smart guy, but in my school, we had a college prep class or we had a business track. And so I'd already was, you know, 10th grade, I was already in the delayed entry program for the Marine Corps because I already knew that I was born to fight, trained to kill, ready to die, but never will. You understand? I already knew. You got it? You're like, ooh, what's wrong with him? It's a Marine thing. You know, but all right. So anyways, I got to calm that down. But anyways, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I tell him, hey, don't let the size fool you. You got it? It's 27 ways to kill a man with pressure points. Okay, all right. I got to stay spiritual. That's what they taught me anyway. So anyways, I took the business track. So I took accounting 1 and 2, business math. You know, I know how to make a profit. I understand millions, but I don't understand geometry, man. But I think I did all right. So anyway, she's in class, and so the teacher says, okay, I'm just going to tell everybody right now, what I'm about to show you is just really, really hard. You're not going to figure this out. You are going to fail at this miserably. You got it? So everybody repeat after me. Now, I think he was going somewhere with it, so I don't want to knock the teacher, but, you know, but he says, so everybody repeat after me, I'm not going to figure this out. I'm going to fail this. You understand? So all the kids are saying it, but he notices that Felicia is not saying it. You got it? And so he just kind of looks bewildered, like, why in the world would she not say that? And she's like, because I believe that God is going to help me, and I'm going to figure that thing. I said, boy, you better go head on. Where is Felicia? Is she in here? She's serving? Somebody go get, Keith, go give her $20 just for serving, for being bold. And people say, well, you know, you know what he meant. No, I knew what he said. And faith is released by the words of your mouth. And you've got to have a conviction that I'm only going to say what the word of God says, even though there's somebody that's credible, even though there's somebody that's over authority over me, it doesn't mean that I have to succumb to whatever they say or whatever they believe. I only believe the word of God, and I'm only going to say what the word says. And so when me and my wife were living paycheck to paycheck, it looked like we were crazy, walking around talking about all our needs are met according to heaven's will. We needed somebody to help us pay our rent by the fifth. You understand? Forget the first. I needed all 5 days. But it did not change. It did not change the word of God. So, I know people look at you crazy. You know, I'm walking around, all my needs are met according to heaven's best. In Jesus' name, I eat the best. I wear the best. I live in the best. I drive. And I need something right now. But I understood my situation wouldn't change the word of God, but the word of God would change my situation. And to the degree I keep saying what the word says and saying what the word says and saying what the word says and saying what the word says, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. And say what the word says and say what the word says. Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. And say what the word says and say what the word says. I will eventually see the word manifest in my life. And so you have to have a conviction. You got it. You have to have a conviction. But watch this, because angels hearken to the voice of his word. And you have angels that are assigned to you. And the reason maybe your angels aren't doing anything is because you're not saying what his word says. You got it. And so I don't care what the doctor says. I'll do the surgery. I'll take the medicine. You got it. Where's the time go? So anyways, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I start going to the barn. Y'all know my baby girl. She rides horses and that kind of thing. That's where her and Lady are. She's in Raleigh winning. That's my confession. You understand what I'm saying? Like, have you heard something? No, that's my, she's in Raleigh winning. That's what we do. You got it. We always win. Everything attaches to me win. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's my confession. You got it? So if you're attached to me, you win. Why? Because I'm in faith with you and you're in faith with me. I'm praying for you and you're praying for me. You got, and see, you got to be bold enough to say that, because you know, when you get outside these four walls, people think you're crazy. Like, I tell people, oh no, everybody attaches to me win. They're like, oh my God, what is wrong with him? And I wonder, oh my God, what is wrong with him? Because I'm saying what the word says. And the word says that angels take off speedily to bring forth the will of God. And so when I declare my healing, when I declare my peace, when I declare my joy, when I declare that my marriage is getting better, when I'm declaring that divorce is not an option, those are all things that you find in the word of God. And because I declare it with bold like faith, angels take off to cause the will of God to happen in my life. Does that make sense? Oh, where are we at? Number three. Number four, I must alter my magnification. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let me ask you a question. What are you magnifying? The only reason Peter started sinking is because he took his focus off of Jesus and put his focus on the wind. So you can't magnify the problem, but you have to magnify the God that solves every problem. All right? Everybody say number five. Number five, I must respect the agreement mandate. I must respect the agreement mandate that if just two of us shall agree. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on the earth must be. Did you see that? A lot of times we read the Bible so fast that, you know, he says, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on the earth, what is already forbidden. No, I can't read it like that. Truly I tell you, pause, it's a comma. Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on the earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, because it has to line up with the word of God. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So he says, whatever you declare to be, watch this, lawful in the earth is what already has to be lawful in heaven. And whatever you declare to be unlawful in the earth is what already has to be unlawful in heaven. How many know that lack is unlawful in heaven so you can declare it to be unlawful in earth? How many know sickness is unlawful in heaven so you can declare it to be unlawful in the earth? How many know that depression is unlawful in heaven, so you can declare it to be unlawful in the earth? Isn't that right? He says, again, I tell you. A what? Again. That means I already told you one time, and you weren't paying attention, Jesus said, so I'm going to have to tell you again. He says, if two, how many? Two. Not three, seven, or 75, just two. If two of you on, watch this, earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let me give you, oh, I got to go. It's 50 seconds. Is that right? 50 seconds? That can't be right. No, it's wrong. I got an hour because we turned it back. All right. My criteria for the two. Somebody said, stay with him. He's almost done. All right. Criteria for the two. Letter A, I need someone who will believe like I believe. So when you come to me and you ask me to believe, watch this. I'm going to believe just like you're believing. I'm going to get in agreement, and I'm not going to get out of agreement. So watch this. So now relationship is important, because I need to agree with someone that I have a good relationship with, that I know who's concerned about me. You understand what I'm saying? Because watch this, they will not come out of agreement. And you got a man of God that's agreeing with you for the things that you are agreeing for, and I'm not going to come out of agreement. You understand? There's some things that I probably want bad, worse for you than you want for yourself. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So watch this. Letter B. I need someone who will be bold like I'm bold. Someone who ain't going to change their mind because it's taking long. Well, you know, Pastor, you've been believing for this 2 years, man. Maybe the Lord is trying. No, the Lord ain't trying to do anything. I just got to stay in faith. Fight's not over till I win. Do you know how long Abraham waited? Let her see. I need someone who will bind like I bind. All right, now we'll go. Well, we already did it. Whoever shall bind on earth shall bind in heaven. Okay, I already did that part. So I need someone who will bind, who will declare things to be lawful and unlawful based on what's in heaven and what's not allowed in heaven, just like I do. This is my criteria, all right? And to the degree I do this, ooh, y'all want to make a confession? All right, so to the degree I do this, faith comes by hearing, it's released by the words of my mouth, right? And so when I'm walking by faith, if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. but I have to be willing to wait forever. Does that make sense? Why, Pastor? That's a good question. Because I have to let the devil know I'm in it for the long haul. You got it. I'm not giving up. I'm in it for the long. Yes, I wanted this to be over already, truth be told. That's not a doubt. That's not doubtful. You got it. Just a fact. I wish that the thing would have already manifested, but it does not waver in. I do not waver in my faith. You got it. I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says. And all I need is one person to get in agreement with me who will not get out of agreement with me. And if I stay in faith, it's got to come to pass. Does that make sense? Did I give you all the confession? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. The screens. All right, y'all ready? All right, now this one we are not saying together. We're gonna say after each other, all right? Is that the right time? Okay, no problem. All right. So everybody repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I overcome every situation with disciplined faith because I know my supernatural future is at stake. Thank you, Father, for the boldness, courage, and wisdom to see beyond the limitations of the natural realm into the realm of the Spirit where my help comes from. I repent for moments of murmuring and complaining and make a covenant with my mouth to speak only those things that release angels to go to work on my behalf. I thank you, Father, that angels are in camp all around me, and they are ready to witness my obedience and hearken unto the voice of your word. I totally trust you. I totally trust you. I totally trust you. I have total peace and confidence because my dependence is on you. I declare, as your child, that you are lining up things just for me. How many believe that? All right. Now say, doors that were once closed are now open just for me. How many believe that? All right. Now everybody say, I declare no more delays, no more distractions, no more disappointments. Sometimes you got to just say it again. Somebody say, I declare no more delays, no more distractions, no more disappointments. See, faith comes by hearing. You got to get this. But it is released by the words of your mouth. Most of the time, we will not be bold enough to say things like, I declare no more delays. You understand? Like you talking with the banker, and you've been trying to make this thing work for 3 months now. And then all of a sudden, you get this boldness. It's the Spirit of God that rises up and just says, declare no more delays. But the man is sitting right there. Don't wait till you get back to your car. Say, you know, Peter, I appreciate you working with me, and we're going to get it. And I just sense there are not going to be any more delays. So right now, I just declare no more delays. We're going to make this happen in Jesus' name. I don't care how he looks at me, because it's not him that's going to bring it to pass. It's my Father that's going to bring it. Oh, my God, today. You got to get it made up in your mind that no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that come hell or high water, that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. That I got my mind made up that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, if I got to go through the fire, I'll go through the fire. If I got to go through high water, I'll go through high water. But my mind is made up that victory belongs to me. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today, if I already told Satan, he better get up out of here, because victory today is my. Jesus is on the main line. You just got to tell him what you want. Call him up. He's listening. Just tell him what you want. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just can't keep it to myself. When I think of the goodness of God and all that he has done for me, my soul. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Ain't no mountain too high. Ain't no valley too low. You got to get it made up in your mind that no matter what comes or no matter what, I trust God. My trust is not in man, it's in Jehovah Jireh. And if the person is not, watch it, the person I'm dealing with, if they're not lining up, I'm not going to get frustrated with you no more. because that's not doing nothing for me. I'm not going to get frustrated with you no more, because my dependence is not on you. My dependence is on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. So David says, when I don't know where to go and when I don't know what to do, I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, because all of my help comes from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He's going to preserve myself. He's going to preserve my going out and my coming in from this time. Lord, why are you getting yourself together? Because I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen before. God is about to blow my mind. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My God. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not be disappointed. I shall not be frustrated. I shall not lose. I shall not miss the mark, because the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Can you just worship him right there just for a moment? I'm done. Can you just worship him? Can you just magnify him right there? Hallelujah. 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 Pastor, I don't think I finished my confession. The Lord said there's something else you didn't finish, and I didn't even realize it. Where's it at? There we go. Everybody say, I declare victorious reversal and supernatural suddenly. See, you got to understand, a victorious reversal is when man could not do anything to help you, and all of a sudden God shows up and that thing turns around. And the same person that said no all of a sudden said yeah. The same person that was acting crazy all of a sudden got their mind back. And he said, and supernatural suddenlies. Like, you won't come to church and say, Pastor, all of a sudden I got a check in. All of a sudden I got an email in. All of a sudden somebody walked up and all of a sudden. Everybody say, I declare. Woo! I did. Faith is released by the words of my mouth, but I have to release it with both. I declare. Yeah. When I talk to people, I was talking to a guy, a carpet guy, the other day, and he said, Pastor, they said it's going to take a long time to get the carpet. I said, well, I declare in Jesus' name. He didn't know what to do, but that ain't my problem. So, y'all, don't just use this language on the inside of these four walls. You got to use it on the outside of these four walls. Everybody say, I declare that you are about to do something supernatural in my life. And it's just a matter of time until others will see the manifestation of my faith. Is there any more? Is that it? All right, now say, I decree it. I declare it. It is so. Now shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. 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 Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. You might bend, but you will not break. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. And your marriage is getting better, I declare as a man of God. And your children are getting better. And your money is getting better. And your business is getting better in the name of Jesus. More peace than you've ever had, and more joy than you've ever had. Doors of opportunity are open and wide for you in the name of Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus, that what was before shall be no more in your life in the name of Jesus. I declare that he's leaning in your direction, and he's working everything out for your good. And even right now in the spirit, he's raising up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You receive it? Let me tell you something. way you receive that is by faith. Let me explain something to you. Even though we're jumping, and it's good because the Spirit of God is here, right? But it's not based on emotions. Because you can get out, calm down, and the devil start talking. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. So, I mean, when the Spirit of God's here, yeah, we want to jump and we want to, so it's appropriate. But what I'm saying is your feelings should not be based on your faith. Or your faith should not be based on your feelings. So when I come out of here, it don't matter what happens, what the devil tries to throw. Because, you know, I'm talking about a husband and wife doing good. Well, get in the car, say, babe, where you want to go to eat? I don't know, wherever you want to go. Well, where you want to go? I don't care. Okay, see, now, this is aggravating. Every time we do, everything was fine. That's just a trick of the enemy. So the enemy, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit will say, yeah, that's a trick. And then what you have to do is open your mouth. You got it, babe, that's a trick. You know, the devil was trying to fool us. Babe, look, matter of fact, let's just go here. You understand what I'm saying? And you fix that thing, watch this, and stay in agreement. Because what he's trying to do is get you out of agreement. Ooh, y'all made me sweat. Okay, everybody sit down just for a minute. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers pray.